I'm curious this morning, does anybody know what a stereogram is? A stereogram. Yes, somebody does. I won't ask you to tell me what it is, but a stereogram, we'll put an image of a stereogram up there. That's a stereogram. Maybe you've seen a stereogram at like the swap meet or something, where you're going through and there's an image, and if you look at the image the correct way, there's actually another image in there hidden. So there's an image in there. There's an image of a dog in there. But you need the veil of hiddenness and distraction to be removed to be able to see it clearly. And sometimes that's more difficult than it is easy. Or you look at this stained glass window. We all see a very big cross. But do you see a basin of water? Do you see a towel? Some of you are nodding your heads as if you do. You know how long it took me for someone to point it out to me? You guys are much more advanced than I am. But there's a basin, there's a towel. Some even see a person behind it. Maybe it's Jesus getting ready to wash people's feet. Who knows? But there's an image in there, but you need distraction. I'm not going to have any of your eyes for the rest of this time. That was a rookie mistake right there. Yeah. Anyways, and so there's an image, but you need distraction to be removed to be able to see it. The reason I bring this up is because we're continuing our series on the Lord's Prayer, and today we come to this part where we say, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And what I want to say today is when we are saying that part of the prayer, we're actually looking for something that is there, but it's hidden. Just like the picture in the stereogram, there is a dog in that picture. You might not be able to see it, but it is there. And if you look at it the right way, if the veil of distraction, if the veil of hiddenness is released or taken away, you will see it because it's there. In the same way, God's kingdom, God's will, it's here. It's with us. It's among us. But so many times, it's hidden. It's distracted. And in order to see how our prayer, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," is asking God to lift away the distractions so that we can see what He's actually up to in the world, I need a little bit of background. So for the first bit of background is in Jewish history, in the Jewish way of thinking, history is actually going somewhere. There are some cultures, there are many cultures today, sometimes they think, well, history is just a bunch of circumstances at random. There's no real beginning, there's no real end, there's no real middle. You don't know how to live in that time. It's random. But for the Jewish people, history is linear, it's headed somewhere. Now, they might get confused, they might have difficult times, so it goes backwards a little bit, but they are headed somewhere. And so what they would call the time right now, they would call these the end times. We're in the end times. And what they're waiting for is a day when God will intervene and set all things right. There will be redemption. God will make all things new. And the time after that is called the kingdom of God. It's the dynamic reality of God's reign over all the cosmos, over all of the universe. Tears will be wiped away. People will get along. There will be respect for others. There will be reverence for God. As an example of this, there was a musician years ago, he's still around, his name is Matthew Paul Miller, but you might know him by his stage name of Modest Yahoo, which means gift of God in Hebrew. Now, 10 years ago, this is him, 10 years ago, this man actually took the music world by storm because he started putting out music with Orthodox Jewish themes and doctrine. You would think that would be a very small niche. Right? I mean, how many people are going out of their way to purchase music that tells us about Orthodox Jewish doctrine? But this guy literally took the music world by storm. One of his songs, a song that unfortunately my family has to listen to way more than they probably want to, because I find it inspirational, is a song called "One Day." And it perfectly sums up the Jewish belief that history is moving to a direction. It's moving in a direction where one day, the day of the Lord, God is going to intervene in human history and He's going to make all things right. Here's some of the lyrics. He starts out, he says, "Sometimes in my tears I drown, but I never let it get me down. So when negativity surrounds, so he's talking about the end times, the times that we're in right now. There's a hurricane off the coast of Florida. There are tears. There is pain. There is negativity. How many of us experience this on a day-to-day basis? We all do. It's the reality of life. But then he goes on and he says, I know someday it'll all turn around. So he knows, I know someday it's going to be the day of the Lord. And he's going to set things right. And then he goes on and he says, because all my life I've been waiting for, I've been praying for the people to say that we don't want to fight no more, there'll be no more wars, and our children will play. That is the kingdom of God. No more wars, no more violence. There'll be respect for other people. The children will play in safety. And then he goes on to say, one day, one day, one day, which is that one day is the day of the Lord. He goes, on that day, one day, things will all change. We'll treat people the same. We'll stop with the violence and the hate. One day we'll all be free and proud to be under the same song, singing songs of freedom. Friends, that is straight Old Testament prophecy. And that's what the Jews held on to, is that things are hard right now. We're oppressed by all kinds of nations. We can't get along. We are self-absorbed. We do the exact same things that God saved us from in Egypt. But someday God's going to make it right. And then we'll enter this time called the kingdom of God. So to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, it's a petition for God to hurry up with the day of our Lord. So yes, we know the day of the Lord is coming, but to pray your kingdom come on one level is to say, God, make that so quick. Because we want the kingdom of God when everything is made right, when tears are wiped away, to come sooner rather than later. Absolutely. In fact, you see this, and it's called the prayer of Kadesh, and it says this, may God let his kingdom rule in your lifetime and in your days and in the lifetime of the whole house of Israel speedily and soon. So that's a Jewish belief. We're in the end times right now. We want the day of the Lord to come very soon so that we can all experience the kingdom of God. So yes, absolutely, on one level, that is absolutely what's being said. It's clear and concise, and that follows the line that the first century Jews would have understood. End times, day of the Lord, reign of the King. But, however, Jesus turns the understanding of the kingdom of God upside down. Is that a shocker to anybody here? Doesn't he always do that? There's a way that we think it's going to happen. There's a way that we think reality is going to unfold. There's a reality that we think our lives are going to take, that our lives are going to happen, a path that we're going to follow. But Jesus changes it all the time. Because what we have to remember is that Jesus taught this prayer at the time when the central message of his teaching was not the kingdom of God is coming. It was not the kingdom of God is in the future. What was the central message of Jesus' teaching? The kingdom of God is at hand. It's here. It's right here. It's here. It's now. It's as close as the air we breathe. And so this Jewish idea of the kingdom of God in the future, Jesus is turning it on its head and says, no, actually, it's right now. You missed it. You're just a little bit off, because with me and what I'm doing and what I'm teaching in my ministry and everything I'm about to show you, the kingdom of God is actually right here. For example, when Jesus heals people, when he cares for those who are ill, when he cares for those who are injured, when he brings health and wholeness to people, when he gives sight to the blind, when he causes the lame to walk, when he touches and cleanses the lepers, that is the kingdom of God. That's God's preferred future breaking into the present right now. That's a brand new order of things. And Jesus is saying that's happening right now. The old order of things, you know, passing by the poor and the sick and the marginalized, like the priest and the Levite in the story of the Good Samaritan, that's not the kingdom of God. That's the old order of things. That's anti-kingdom. Jesus is saying the kingdom of God, God's preferred future of how we act, is actually breaking into the present right now. When Jesus befriends prostitutes and one of them comes and washes his feet with tears, when Jesus invites Simon the Zealot, who's a revolutionary insurgent, literally a terrorist, and Matthew the tax collector, a representative of an oppressive government, when he asks those two to follow him, and they do, and those two start behaving like brothers, that's the kingdom of God. When Jesus breaks down social barriers and he welcomes women into his company and he gives them respect and dignity and he allows them to pay his bills and he entrusts them with the gospel message, something that was absolutely unheard of at the time, that's the kingdom of God. That's God's preferred future breaking into the world now. It's a new order of things. The old way of doing things, keeping people you label as sinful or different at a distance, marginalizing people who aren't just like you, that's not the kingdom of God. That's the old order of things. That's anti-kingdom. When Jesus teaches us to repent, to turn from our ways of self-absorption and all of its evil consequences, and he tells us to turn towards a way of loving and respecting all people, and loving and revering God, that's the kingdom of God. That's the preferred future of how things are going to look in the future. But they're breaking into the world right now, and we see it in the life of Jesus. The old way of self-absorption, the old way of doing what we want to do, that's the old order of things. That's anti-kingdom. The future of the reign of the kingdom of God has broken into the present because of the life, birth, teaching, miracles, death, and resurrection of Jesus. So Daryl Johnson, he says this. He says, the kingdom of God is here, right now. Actually, I kind of ad-libbed that one part. I'll just read the script. The kingdom of God is here, right here where you are, in all its glory, splendor, and power, in your home, and in your office, and in your hospital room. The kingdom of God is at hand, but until the day of the Lord, the kingdom of God is just behind that thin, permeable veil of hiddenness. Kind of like that picture we saw at the beginning. There is a picture in there, but it's hidden behind a veil of distraction. The same way with the kingdom of God. It is here. It's among us. It's as close as the air we breathe, but it's hidden. And so we're asking God to show it to us. So when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, God, we're asking, reveal your way in our lives, in our church, in our community, in our country, in our world. God, only you can do that. Someday there's not going to be a veil. Someday there will be the day of the Lord and things will be made right. But until then, the kingdom of God is among us, but it's hidden. And we're asking God in this stanza, in this part of the Lord's Prayer, to show it to us. God, we know your kingdom is here. We saw it in the life of Jesus. We've seen it in your followers ever since. We see it in your gospel. We see it in the Word of God. We know it's here. We know it's among us. We know that it's hidden. God, will you please show it to us? Will you please lift the veil of distraction? Allow us to be involved. And then you have to ask, Why don't you think we pray like this very often? And I think that perhaps the church, and instead of saying the church, I'll say myself, perhaps the reason why I don't fervently pray this way is because I know how dangerous it is to do so. Our Father in heaven might just answer and start turning everything upside down. It's one of those, we got to be careful what we ask for type of things. Because in order for God to reveal his kingdom in this world, in this country, in our cities, in our community, in this church, in our neighborhoods, in our families, in our lives, there is so much anti-kingdom that we have to get rid of. Are you with me? In order for the veil of distraction to be lifted, that's not going to be an easy process. Because while I might agree while I'm teaching in church, or while I might agree on paper that I want the kingdom of God to be revealed in my life, I happen to know that that's going to be a really invasive procedure, a very painful procedure. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I actually enjoy and find comfort in anti-kingdom. I find comfort in putting myself first sometimes. I find comfort in keeping more than my fair share. I find comfort sometimes in holding on to grudges and not forgiving people. That's all anti-kingdom. And sometimes I'm very at home in that. That would be tough to let go. I can actually find status in anti-kingdom. It's a lot easier to feel good about my position, about my place in life, about my faith when I can point to other people and their errors and their destructiveness and gloss over my own issues, which, by the way, are every bit as hideous as anybody else's. Sometimes I feel good about myself because of anti-kingdom. Sometimes I even think the anti-kingdom is in my DNA. It's in my chemical makeup. It's in my thoughts. It's in my desires to remove anti-kingdom, to remove self-absorption from me. I happen to know that's going to be a very invasive and painful procedure. And so maybe that's why I'm not always praying fervently for the kingdom to come, because I know that's going to change me dramatically. Imagine for our country to really get rid of anti-kingdom to the point where the kingdom of God was revealed. Think about it. Honestly, what would be left untouched? Nothing. It would be changed upside down. That's what Jesus is in the business of doing. What would our country even look like? How about our churches? Imagine if our churches got rid of anti-kingdom. What kind of churches would it be? How much anti-kingdom would have to be removed in order for churches to actually be an invaluable contribution to the communities in which we find ourselves? Because the kingdom of God is not at fault for people walking away in droves from the church. It's anti-kingdom. It's a part of all of us. It's in our systems. So to ask and to petition God to remove anti-kingdom and to lift the veil of distraction so that we can actually see the kingdom of God and what He's doing, that's not a small request. It's a big request. And it's literally a request that changes everything. And so my question is, are we really willing to make that petition? Are we really willing to make that prayer? For God to undergo the significant, deep, eye-opening, painful surgery that would be necessary to remove sin and self-absorption and anti-kingdom from all of us individually and in our families and in our communities, so that people could actually see the kingdom of God, which we know because of Jesus is actually here. In 1974, Pulitzer Prize winner Annie Dillard, she wrote this: "On the whole, I do not find Christians in sufficiently sensible conditions." She says, "Does anyone have the foggiest idea what sort of power we so blithely invoke? Or, as I suspect, does no one believe a word of it? The churches are like children playing on the floor with their chemistry sets, mixing up a batch of TNT that could kill a Sunday morning. It is madness to wear fancy clothes and velvet hats to church. We should be wearing crash helmets. Ushers should be handing out life preservers and signal flares. They should lash us to our pews, because God may actually wake up someday and do something. He might take offense, or the waking God might actually draw us out from where we can never return back. The prayer, 'Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven,' it demands seatbelts, it demands helmets, it demands life preservers. Because when God answers that request, it's probably not going to be comfortable. It's probably going to be surprising to us, just like everything else Jesus does. It'll be revolution. It'll turn everything upside down. And so are we ready for that? And when I say we, are you ready for that individually? Am I ready for that? Are we ready for that as a church? Are our families ready for that? Are our Bible studies ready for that? Are our marriages ready for that? Are you up to pray a prayer? God is asking us to remove the veil of darkness so that we can see the kingdom of God. And then he goes on to say, your will be done. And I'm not going to talk about this as much as I did the other one, because they're actually parallel statements. However, there is something in the original language when it talks about the word will. It's the word thelema. And it is something that I believe is there to give us comfort. Because thelema, God's will, it means God's purpose, but it also means God's pleasure. Thelema means will, which means God's design, but it also means God's delight. So when we pray for your kingdom to come, your will to be done, we're asking for God to perform invasive and turn our worlds upside down. But I believe that word thelema is there to remind us that it's going to be good. Because remember, God's will, God's delight, God's design, His pleasure, it's things like we learn from Genesis, it's that we end up being as creative as He is. God's will and pleasure and delight for our lives is that we're going to use the things that God blesses us to bless other people. There's joy in that. We learn in Exodus that God's will for us, His delight for us, His joy for us, is that we would be freed from all kinds of sin that might put us in bondage, and that we would actually give freedom to other people as well. And we know from the New Testament that God's will for us, His delight for us, His pleasure is that we would be truly alive, that we would live the life that is truly life. So the revolution He brings about His good pleasure. It's good. We can trust it. Will things be different? Yes. Will we be surprised? Yes. Will it be easy? Probably not. Will it be surprising? Yes, it will. But His will in our lives, it's going to be good. And are we at a place where we can submit to that? And so we think of a stereogram, and we think of this stained glass window. There are images in those things that we cannot clearly see because they're distraction. They're hidden. We can't see them. The same way, because of Jesus, the kingdom of God is here. It's at hand. It's among us. We can see examples of this when people help other people, when people bring joy, when mothers take care of infants, when people look out for people in hospitals, when people go out of their way to donate to these people who are going through huge tragedy because of these natural disasters. We see the kingdom of God among us all the time. It's here. But in the same way that the picture in the stereogram is hidden, the kingdom of God is hidden. And so after service, you might ask someone, hey, can you help me see where there's a basin and a towel in there? Because people try to point it out and I still have trouble. I might actually be able to see the basin. But in the same way, this week right now, praying the Lord's Prayer, inviting God's kingdom, God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, we're asking God, can you please show us the kingdom of God? Can you please show us where you're at work in our lives, in our families, in our schools, in our churches, in our community, and in our world? Because we want to be a part of that. That's what you came to bring. That was the central message of your teaching. That's what we want to be all about. And then actually, we would go out this week, and we would be looking, and we would be people who go out to find it. That we would be going into our homes and being, where is the kingdom of God here? What is the anti-kingdom in my life, in the life of those here that are keeping the kingdom of God from being fully known? Into our workplaces, into our social groups, even into our churches everywhere. And may we do that. May we pray, our Father in heaven, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And may we pray that with confidence, knowing that what He does is good. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.